Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Little blast of winter weather with yellow watches in place. Environment Canada changed all the color-coded weather alert systems, so I've been doing homework. There's yellow, orange, and red. So a yellow warning and a yellow watch is less severe than an orange warning or watch, which is less severe than a red warning or watch. So we got a yellow one.
All right.
For the winter weather that is headed our way or already here in some areas of Saskatchewan.
Were you in the meeting this morning when we were chatting with our new employee, one of our new bosses who comes from Vancouver? I don't think you were. That was wild. As we were explaining to her the mix of snow and rain.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun Saskatchewan.
She's like, that's not good for the roads,
no,
right?
No.
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 No, that's sleet thing.
That's when you, if there's a hill, you might start seeing vehicles going the wrong way, sliding down. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Let's get to, speaking of ice, hockey ice. As we bring on Bill Price of NHL.com, the editor-in-chief, joins us once again. We always love having Bill on the program. Bill, welcome back to Saskatchewan.
Thank you, guys. How you doing?
Very well. How do you think, John? Go ahead.
I was going to ask you first what happens once we get past a red watch.
That's it.
That's as worst as it gets.
Just goes black.
Armageddon. That's what happens after that.
Okay.
But, Bill,
run to the bunkers.
How do you think John Cooper is? He's saying excruciatingly difficult decisions to come up with Team Canada, and that Macklin, Celebrini, and Connor Bedard are adding even more difficulty to the decision process. What do you think life's going to be like for the Canadian brass in the next few weeks ahead of New Year's Eve when they're going to announce this roster?
They have to be really, you know, fretting what they're going to do. I mean, and from what we've said, from what you've said and they've said, Celebrini and Bedard have made it hard for them, right? Like, I think coming into this season, they could have said, oh, we'll just kind of stick with the same crew that we had in the Four Nations. And we get to add two more players because I think they have a couple more players than Four Nations. And I'm not sure if Celebrini and Bedard were in that mix, but now they have to be. And now the situation is, if you don't take them and you don't win, how much second guessing is there going to be? Like, these guys, these two guys have played, young kids have played extremely well, scoring goals, scoring points on, you know, teams that have struggled and weren't expecting to do much, and the teams are playing well. But I was just looking at our projected rosters that we did on NHL.com a couple weeks ago, and it's hard to look at who doesn't go. Let's say they take Celebrini. Let's say you take Bedard. Then who do you leave off? You know, Mark Stone, does he not go?
Yeah.
Sam Bennett? You know, like, it seems from, like, talking with Mike Zeisberger, who had actually a column today on NHL.com, talking to Doug Armstrong, the GM, and I've talked to him a couple times, Mike, about this. Like, Tom Wilson, pretty much a lock, I think, to be on the team. So, if you take Bedard, if you take Celebrini, what about a guy like Morgan Geeky, who's just lighting it up this year?
Yeah.
If you take them, then who doesn't go? And, you know, obviously the other issue is, and they talked about this a lot at Four Nations, is, you know, you're not building a fantasy team. You're not building the team with the best numbers. You're building a team of guys that can slot in and guys that are willing to play a fourth line, right? Can Connor Bedard play on the fourth line? You know, these guys are all used to being on the top line, top power play, and these guys have to be role players, and that's what they have to consider. What is the best mix of players to take with them to Italy?
Well, and two, the one thing that you left out of that, too, is how do these guys perform if they're not playing all those minutes? Like, does a guy like Connor Bedard need those top line minutes to be impactful in a game, right? Like, it's not easy. Bill, I have a question about, can we add Matthew Schaefer to the conversation as well? Like, I mean, that's another wrinkle. Like, I've watched a couple of Islander games, and my goodness, I was hoping he was going to be on the World Juniors squad. There's no way anybody from the Islanders organization is going to let him go.
Right. No, I know. He's another name to throw in there. And again, like, he's making it really hard for them. And I think that's, you know, even in the off season when we were at player media tour and the Olympic orientation camp, even Bill Guerin at US camp said the same thing. Like, we want guys to make it hard for us. Well, they're making it hard. Yeah. Like, Schaefer's another one. And, you know, and again, like, you start, I guess you have to take in the experience, the moment, right? Like, are the Olympics too much for this? But then you also take in, there's a lot of games in a shorter period of time. Do you want younger guys, right? Do you want a couple 20-year, 18-year-olds running around that will have fresher legs, you know, for when you're playing whatever it is, six games in 10 days or something like that? So, again, I think it's funny. If you look at the defensemen, I think you could make – there's probably a guy it's easier to leave off for Schaefer than there is for the forward group, and that's 14 forwards. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, what plays out over the next couple weeks. And, you know, I would also love to know how much wiggle room there really is from the Four Nations, right? Like, did they go into the season like, all right, it's a fresh slate, everybody's got a chance, or this is our roster, maybe there's two or three spots that are open, and if your guy totally blows them away, they take him.
That's the
message. I don't know. But
That's the message they sent, right? Like, they said at the beginning of the didn't they, Bill? They were like, listen, everybody's got a chance here.
Yeah, I agree. And again, like, it'll be interesting to see if they don't take – I mean, I don't think there's a chance they take Bedard and Celebrini. I think maybe they take one. If it were me, I would take Bedard just because he's got a year of experience. He plays in Chicago, which – obviously, he's a lot more eyeballs on him than playing in San Jose. But if you don't take either one and you don't win the gold medal because you don't score goals, that's a lot to stew over for 4 years. So,
Bill Price is editor-in-chief of NHL.com. So the Olympic decision will be coming up in a few weeks. But the National Hockey League, especially in the Eastern Conference, it's sort of the Buffalo Sabres. I'm going to eliminate them from this conversation. But first,
how dare you?
First to 15th, 9 points separates first from 15th in the Eastern Conference.
It was crazier like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Wasn't it like six?
If you take away the Capitals and the Sabres, the top team and the worst team, from second to 15th, it's 6 points separate. Bill,
it's
insane.
2 weeks ago, the New Jersey Devils were in first place in their division and rolling along. Today, they're not even in a playoff spot. It's insane. It is crazy how it's been. I think I'd have to look at the numbers, but I think it seems like almost every night, multiple games go to overtime. So now you're talking about 3-point games, right? Where one team's getting 2 points, one team's getting 1 point. The Rangers just played a home and two games this weekend against Colorado and Vegas, lost both, but they got a point out of both. So it is crazy how tight it is. And even in the West, you know, the Colorado Avalanche have lost two games in regulation out of 29. They are only 3 points ahead of the Dallas Stars for first place in their division. So it's crazy. Yeah. And the condensed schedule, because of the Olympic schedule, it seems like these teams are playing, you know, every other night. There's, you know, 14, 15 game days. And yeah, it's going to be crazy leading up to the Olympics. And I think the focus, obviously, once we get the rosters, you know, that first week of January is going to be on the Olympics. But when these teams come back from Italy, it's going to be, you know, what? A 4 or 5 week sprint to the finish line, and every game, every point is going to matter. It's crazy. I've never seen it this tight. Yeah, look at the East. The Rangers and Penguins are tied for the last wild card, and every team except the Sabres are 4 points behind them. And the Sabres are only 8 points behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I heard you guys in the last hour talking about the Oilers and the Panthers. I wouldn't count the Panthers out. They seem to know how to flip the switch. If they can get Matthew Tkachuk back, either before the Olympics or after the Olympics, I would not count them out until you know what's the expression? Until you see the body. Like, they get Tkachuk back, Barkov somehow is ready for the playoffs. If they can get in, they're dangerous.
So. Well, and they keep getting help from the rafts like they did this weekend.
Oh, my goodness, Locker, give it. My
I didn't see that.
You
that should lead us into the hand pass question with Bill.
Yeah. What was that?
The hand pass. What is a hand pass? What is not a hand pass? Here we go. Yeah.
I'll let the referees discuss it.
You mentioned the free fall a little bit of the Devils, five-game losing streak. Do you think they're going to get help this season in the name of Quinn Hughes with the rumors that are already starting to heat up, Bill?
I mean, that rumor's obviously been going on since the offseason when I think it was Jack or somebody said something about playing with my brother. Maybe Quinn said it. I don't know if they have the cap room, right? Like, they could. I'm sure they would love to have all three Hugheses on this team, and it would be a great fit for them. But I don't know if they have the cap space. They would have to unload some players that you know, are pretty good and make a lot of salary. So,
and are you making? Are you sacrificing your what you have to spend on the rest of the team to get them? Right. That was my conversation.
Yeah. And I don't even know if they could fit them under the cap now, unless they. Yeah, they really overhaul their roster. I don't think there's a – I mean, obviously, to get him from Vancouver, they're going to have to give up a lot. And I'm not sure if they have that or if Vancouver wants what they have. So it'll be interesting. But that rumor, I agree, that rumor is going to be out there until the trade deadline one way or the other. But it certainly would make the Devils more formidable. And listen, like we've seen – Jack's impact. Jack has been out, and like I said, they have kind of in a free fall. They've lost five in a row. They had two back-to-back shut out back-to-back games at home this weekend. So, yeah, they need some help. And, yeah, the trade deadline, again, is going to be crazy because as you guys know and we've talked about, a lot of the free agent guys who are going to be free agents next year have already signed. So it's not like there's a lot of guys who are – in their walk year, big name players that could be traded. And one, you know, the one name around here in New York is Artemi Panarin. That's a guy, if the Rangers fall out of it, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him because he's a free agent. And I'm not sure if the Rangers are going to bring him back. But again, Rangers right now are in a playoff spot because they've gotten a couple, they have like 4 points or a four game point streak. So it's crazy.
Well, Bill, we'll have to leave it there. We always have a blast having you on the Green Zone. Thanks so much for your time again this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, one thing in the AFC. If the Buffalo Bills can't win the AFC this year, they should just hold up the tents and go home. So yeah,
trade Josh Allen.
It's wide open for them.
I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, just trade Josh Allen if they can't get it done this time.
Exactly.
Not Josh, just the rest of the team.
Right, exactly.
He's the tent pole. You keep the pole.
Yeah.
It'll be okay, Locker. You'll just be disappointed in the AFC Championship again this year. But we won't go to other New York State football teams, Bill. We'll just leave that there.
Let's leave the other two out of it.
Bill, always have fun. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay.
That is Bill Price, editor-in-chief of NHL.com here on The Green Zone. Coming up next, good thing Canada spent all that money to get a bunch of garbage soccer games for the World Cup. We'll go through the schedule that was announced this weekend on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the year in the Green Zone. Well, the World Cup schedule was announced. We now know who will be playing at BMO Field in Toronto, although due to sponsorship reasons, it'll be known as Toronto Stadium during the FIFA World Cup. And BC Place Stadium in Vancouver. Let's just say it's not the who's who of the elite soccer powers in the world.
Did we get any European team?
Yeah, we got Germany. And Croatia.
Okay, there we go.
Germany's the ninth ranked team, but it's the game they play against the Ivory Coast. So get ready for a 6-0 win on that one. They do get two games with Egypt with Mo Salah, which is okay for BC. They take on New Zealand and Iran. Of course, Canada will play one
of
these. Other one
is the draw, like the pool that Canada's in too. No,
yeah, but they could have done like the Germany game with a better team than the Ivory Coast for Toronto. But of course, BC does get a round 16 game that could be Portugal. That could be Cristiano Ronaldo in Vancouver, July 7th in the round of 16. Been activated to the San Francisco 49ers practice schedule. They've opened up his 21-day window to activate him to the active roster, although they're likely not going to do that. This is probably only 3 weeks where he's just going to practice before the end of the season, rehabbing that ACL injury. And, of course, John Murphy is out with the Toronto Argonauts. That was made official. Jim Barker is in as the team's director of football operations. More coming up here on the Green Zone, but directly ahead, our top grades, our failing grades from Sunday in the National Football League on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as the highway hotline is reporting this afternoon some snow-covered roads in the eastern portion of the province, south of Whitewood, up around Foam Lake as well, Swift Current area. So you can send us a text if you're seeing highway conditions deteriorating this afternoon with some snow and wind and freezing rain. In the next couple of days, there is a
when you get around
yellow
that,
watch. There's a yellow watch.
Freezing, thawing, freezing. That's when you gross. Get into trouble.
That's gross. Yeah. -2 sucks this time of year.
Yeah.
For the highways. Meanwhile, each and every week here on the Green Zone, we get out our red pens and we grade the National Football League.
Brothers and sisters, from the A's of the Aaron to the F's of that Jared Goff, the passes and the failures, oh, the failures! Brothers and sisters, the good and the wretched and the touchdowns. This is Jamie and Locker's Sunday School.
Yes, each and every Monday after a busy Sunday in the National Football League, and it's just going to get busier. No more bye weeks in the NFL for the final 4 weeks of the season and the stretch run to the playoffs. Locker and I grade it out from our top grades and our failing grades for week 14. What?
I know where you're going. Just get it out of the way.
My failing grade here on the Green Zone. Well, let's just see. Let's just run through the schedule for our Green Zone Pick'em League, shall we? Game one, Thursday Night Football, the Cowboys against the Lions. Locker picked the Cowboys.
Prescott dancing, fires over the middle, and that is going to be picked off.
Man, we also had the Titans and the Browns. Locker picked the Browns.
For the tie, no Shador. It's Judkins on the direct snap. He was supposed to pitch it, but didn't and couldn't. And now he's going to have to throw it, and he does, and it's incomplete.
Man, wrong. Then there's the Colts and the Jags. Locker picked the Colts.
They win a big one over Indianapolis, 36-19.
That one wasn't even close. And then, of course, it was the Bears and the Packers, and old Locker picked the Bears.
Williams looking, throwing, it is intercepted! Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it!
So my failing grade goes to Locker. For the second time in 3 weeks, Locker's gone 0-4. I'm not good at this year, but I'm almost caught you. I'm only one back. I'm one behind you. Our lead is gone. Against the FMs. I went 2-for-2, by the way, this week. I led the Green Zone side.
How did Belton do?
Did he also go 0-for? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think he got one right. Britton got one right. You went 0-for, and I got 2.
I actually,
Locker, what's going on, man?
I'm in my head.
I need you to focus here, bud.
You know what I almost did this week? I wrote down my picks. I looked at them, and I almost changed. I was like, I should just change every single
one. You almost did the George Costanza and did the complete opposite.
I was going
Maybe
to.
Maybe you should do that this week. Maybe
I might do it. I might write down what I think's going to happen and then just change them all.
Do you need a pep talk or something, Locker? No, are you okay?
No, it's good. I'll bounce back.
You were in first place. You've lost the lead entirely. It's gone. I've almost caught you.
Belton and I were doing really, really well, and both of us are. It's been a little unpredictable as of late, though.
Hasn't been a good couple of weeks for old Locke when it comes to the NFL Pick'em League. He's my failing grade, as we've now lost our lead to the FMs.
We barely been leading, by the way, just so you know, boat anchor nigh.
I don't even think I'm the boat anchor anymore. That might be Britain.
Okay, I'm going to move on to my failing grade. Back-to-back weeks, I'm failing Steelers fans for not getting behind and believing in this team.
Means maybe you guys will shut the hell up for a week.
Clearly, a misunderstood athlete and human being. Some might even call him an enigma. Against all odds, the Steelers have a shot at coming out of the AFC this year. The now 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers playing with a broken hand, leading a team that hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. I have another word for you, everybody. Redemption. Let's get behind the Steelers. It's time to start believing.
No. That is a wild card loss again waiting to happen to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Especially if they have to play like Houston. That's not going to
happen. I want to see this team.
You just want me to buy an Aaron Rodgers Steelers jersey if they win the Super Bowl.
I want to see this team get to the Super Bowl.
Can I buy a Packers one instead?
No.
No? It's got to be a Steelers one.
I would allow you to buy an Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey.
Because I could buy it and then like sell that one off. I don't know if the Steelers Rodgers jersey would go very well, but
you can't sell it. That's against the rules.
There's no condition that I have to wear it. I just said I'd buy one. I didn't say I'd wear one.
All right.
You got to be a lot more tight on the rules and conditions of our board predictions.
I didn't put it on
over
the board. That was your idea.
Okay, let's get to our top grade. I have to do it. We as the Green Zone have to do this. He threw three touchdowns. He ran in another four touchdown day. Top grade, Shedeur Sanders.
Sanders to throw, floats for the end zone. Catch made, diving for Sanders. Well protected. And there's Jerry Jeudy. And into the end zone. Touchdown, Cleveland. And he gets away. Sanders will keep. And to the end zone. Shedeur Sanders runs his way in for six.
Jersey, shirt ripping. Great run.
Sanders fires for the end zone. Open! Leaping up and grabbing it.
Beautiful throw, and there is no defense for the perfect throw. Touchdown.
Shedeur Sanders, after the criticism he has received here on the Green Zone, deserves props when he deserves the props, and that was a good day. It was a loss because they couldn't stop Tony Pollard from running the ball for the Tennessee Titans, but that's not Shedeur Sanders' job. He put up enough points. But I could also fail as head coach for not trusting his quarterback in a critical two-point convert. Like, I played the clip earlier when I was running through. Listen to this.
For the tie, no Shedeur. It's Judkins on the direct snap. He was supposed to pitch it, but didn't and couldn't. And now he's going to have to throw it, and he does, and it's incomplete.
It was a complete garbage play. The running back takes the ball. He's supposed to pitch it. He forgets. Then he scrambles. He throws it a Hail Mary over to the side. It gets knocked down. Kevin Stefanski, your job is to grow a rookie quarterback. Shedeur Sanders threw three touchdown passes, ran for another one. You're not going to the playoffs. Get him in the game to give him the reps in those crucial. That is your job as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So as Shedeur Sanders in my top grade, my failing grade goes to his head coach. Because he said, I do the plays.
I thought I was the failing grade today.
I got two failing grades, you and Kevin Stefanski. But top grade goes to Shedeur Sanders. You always take more than enough failing grades, so I'm going to take an old page out of the locker book and get
they
two
just
failing
made
grades
him
today.
The starting quarterback they announced for the rest of the
and
season.
And Shedeur Sanders is the starting quarterback for the rest of the season for Cleveland. Hopefully on a two-point convert, they'll let him in the game. I know it was a little bit of a botch on that first two-point convert, but it's a learning experience for your young rookie quarterback. Shedeur Sanders, top grade. Locker, who gets your top grade?
My Bills.
from the 33.
Oh, my goodness! Look out here! Christian Benford, gift wrapped the other way! Touchdown! What just happened?
I can't believe I missed that. I went to the bathroom. I come back out. I thought they were done. A come-from-behind win, much needed, over the Bengals. Buffalo sits second behind the Patriots in the AFC East at 9-4, holding down a wild card spot right now. I was trying to be funny with my failing grade. The team to truly watch coming out of the AFC, as we do a little foreshadowing for an upcoming conversation this year, is my Buffalo Bills, ladies and gentlemen. Get me a ladder. Get me a table. Let's go. Come on.
If they win the Super Bowl, Locker jumps through a table for the Buffalo Bills. We're going to do it on the coldest day of the year, too.
Actually, that'll be better because then I can wear a bunch of
Padding. Yeah. Skidoo suit and everything else.
I'll be like, why is he in a snowsuit? I'll be like, because it's cold.
Walk in like a toddler coming in from the cold, can barely move any appendages because all the layers on.
Yeah, that'll be me.
Probably a smart decision. There's our top grades and our failing grades from week 14 in the National Football League. Who gets your top grade and failing grade? Let us know. 1-877-332-8255. Also coming up, the Contemporary Hall of Fame Committee has put in one player into the Hall of Fame, but it's not Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. They got some bad news yesterday. We'll break it down for you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone. Well, another chapter in the curious case of Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Gary Sheffield came to a close for the Contemporary Baseball Hall of Fame Committee. Now, the usual vote is the, 400 and whatever members of the professional baseball writers vote, and you're allowed to be on that ballot for 10 years. And then after you're done that 10 years, if you're not in yet, you go into the Contemporary Committee. That is a panel of 16 elites who get to discuss and banter, and then they vote. Those who are up for nomination this year for the Contemporary Baseball Hall of Fame Committee, or the modern era, Carlos Delgado, former Blue Jay, Don Mattingly, Dale Murphy, Bonds, Clemens, Gary Sheffield, Fernando Valenzuela, and Jeff Kent. Only one player got into the Baseball Hall of Fame from that committee, getting 14 of 16 voters. That is Jeff Kent. You need 12. You need that 75% threshold. Jeff Kent going to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The bad news for Bonds and Clemens
was the Jeff Kent. Sorry. That was a bit of a surprise, right, out of that group? No?
All of the analytics numbers and stats geeks would say, yeah, sure. I thought Don Mattingly was more deserving than Jeff Kent, to be honest.
But I was going to say Don.
Carlos Delgado actually received more than Don Mattingly. Carlos Delgado, the former Blue Jay, got 9. So he'll stay on that ballot. Don will stay on. Dale will stay on. But Bonds, Clemens, and Gary Sheffield will now have to wait another 6 years. So they'll miss a turn because they didn't receive 5 votes. They only got 4 or less.
Out of the 16.
So even that committee went pass on the steroid era, the faces of the steroid era, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. I still think at one point they will be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
This group of voters, though, they seem quite dug in on some issues, right? Like they don't waver.
Yeah, this is different than just throwing it up to the 400 and whatever membership.
No.
These are 16 people well-respected within the Professional Baseball Hall of Fame.
Like these guys aren't
writers, and they go, no, they're steadfast. Nope.
If that steroid generation doesn't get by these guys, I don't know, Jamie.
There's a generational turnover on the writers who will come in. I believe there will be.
At some point.
It's probably going to be 20-some years. And who knows? It might be like with Pete Rose. He dies and then the commissioner goes, he can go in the Hall of Fame now. That might be the case with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. who knows what it's going to take. But they're going to have to wait again.
Are they coordinated on any level? Like, do they, like, they chat, right?
Yes. This is a committee that actually has conversations.
Yeah. So this
isn't just put it up to their own devices.
They're done.